So today we have very good fortune of having His Grace Ram Gadhari Prabhuji with us, and he will be enlightening us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.55. Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Yes, I am present. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association. Now please take over the call. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 55. Salilair Suchibir Malyair Vanyair Mola Faladibi Shashtankuram Shukais Charchet Tulasya Priyaya Prabhu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should worship the Lord by offering pure water, pure flower garlands, fruits, flowers and vegetables which are available in the forest, or by collecting newly grown grasses, small buds of flowers, or even the skins of trees, and if possible, by offering tulasi leaves, which are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It is specifically mentioned herein that tulasi leaves are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotees should take particular care to have tulasi leaves in every temple and center of worship. In the Western countries, while engaged in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement, we were brought great unhappiness because we could not find the tulasi leaves. Therefore, we are very much obliged to our disciple Srimati Govinda Dasi because she has taken much care to grow tulasi plants from seeds, and she has been successful by the grace of Krishna. Now tulasi plants are growing in almost every center of our movement. Tulasi leaves are very important in the method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the word salilaihi means by the water. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj was worshipping on the bank of the Yamuna. The Yamuna and the Ganges are sacred, and sometimes devotees in India insist that the deity must be worshipped with the water of Ganges or Yamuna. But here, we understand Desha Kala to mean according to time and country. In the Western countries, there is no river Yamuna or Ganges. Water from such sacred rivers is not available. Does this mean the archa worship should, for that reason, be stopped? No. Salilaihi refers to any water, whatever is available, but it must be very clear and collected purely. That water can be used. The other paraphernalia such as flower garlands, fruits and vegetables should be collected according to the country and according to their availability. Tulasi leaves are very important for satisfying the Lord. So as far as possible, an arrangement should be made for growing tulasi leaves. Dhruva Maharaja was advised to worship the Lord with the fruits and flowers available in the forest. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna frankly accepts vegetables, fruits, flowers, etc. One should not offer Lord Vasudeva anything other than what is prescribed herein by the great authority Narada Muni. One cannot offer to the deity according to one's whims. Since these fruits and vegetables are available anywhere in the universe, we should observe this small point very attentively. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सलिलैशुचिभिर्माल्यैर्वन्यैर्मूलफलादिभिः शास्तानुकूरांशुकैश्चार्चे तुलस्या प्रियया प्रभुम् One should worship the Lord by offering pure water, pure flower garlands, fruits, flowers and vegetables which are available in the forest, or by collecting newly grown grasses, small buds of flowers, or even the skins of trees, and if possible, by offering tulasi leaves, which are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada Muni has now given directions to Dhruva Maharaj. He has instructed the mantra that Dhruva Maharaj is supposed to chant. And now he is starting to explain some details of worship. After all the evaluation, Narada Muni eventually explained Dhruva Maharaj about the Supreme Lord. He told about the process of worship. He also explained about the beautiful form of the Lord. He gave a pictorial representation of how the Lord looked like. And he is also telling about the Lord's holy name and the process to invoke and invite the Lord. A similar instruction about chanting the specific names of the Lord for 7 days and 7 nights, Narada Muni is instructing to Chitraketu. If you happen to read Vritrasura's pastime and the flashback or the Vritrasura's past is Chitraketu's pastime, and in that Narada Muni is telling the process by which Chitraketu can see the Supreme Lord face to face once when somebody chants the mantra attentively for 7 days and 7 nights. So Narada Muni is explaining to Dhruva Maharaj in verse number 53 that one who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. And he further says that the Supreme Lord will manifest as per the description that he gave few verses before. So in our discussion today, we are going to have some sets of reflections and thoughts which will help us to meditate and go deeper into what Srila Prabhupada has written. Narada Muni is actually very nicely preparing Dhruva Maharaj for his tapasya. First, Narada Muni evaluated him, challenged him, questioned him, discouraged him. After Dhruva Maharaj passed that test, after Dhruva Maharaj established his eagerness and determination to see the Supreme Lord, Narada Muni is not leaving the whole agenda abruptly. Rather, he is very systematically explaining to Dhruva Maharaj how he can go and see the Supreme Lord. He is making sure that Dhruva Maharaj does not get carried away, does not get misunderstanding, does not wrongly identify somebody else. So he is explaining Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's description, Krishna's way of worship, the process to remember him. He is giving all the minute details. We can understand a Vaishnava is so kind to an extent that he does not want us to reach any wrong destination even by mistake. In the purport to Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Shloka, in the teachings of Queen Kunti, Srila Prabhupada writes that Kunti Maharani was so particular that she does not wanted any one of us or anybody in the future to wrongly surrender to a bogus personality and misunderstand them as the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes, she is giving all the particulars about Krishna, his father and mother, the place he hailed from, his name, his activities, so that we are not lost. In this current materialistic world, which is highly superficial, we needed such details more and more for us to be properly situated in Krishna consciousness. So today we are going to talk about two sets of Siddhanta. One is about superficiality and Krishna consciousness. Second is about mitigation of superficiality and service. So these two dimensions that we are going to talk about will culminate or will explain the current context where Narada Muni is talking about to Dhruva Maharaj. What is the superficiality and Krishna consciousness all about? So let us slightly, you know, read this translation again. It says, one should worship the Lord by offering pure water, pure flower garlands, fruits, flowers, vegetables, which are available in the forest, etc. He says, finally, which are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general context, when we read Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayashati Tataham Bhakti Upakritam Asnami Priyatatmanaha, this is a sloka from Bhagavad Gita. When you hear such a list, and generally when we hear any such laundry list of things or things to do or things to offer, if we give utmost attention to the list of things, that is called Kanishta. Suppose if we give importance to how those list of things needs to be offered, it is called Madhyama. If we focus on what and how and detach ourselves and only attach Krishna pleasure, that's called Uttama. Let me give little details about it. In general, in our regular context, when we do puja, when we do some procedures, when we do some worship, we give importance to the ingredients, samagri. You know, we need brick, we need barley powder, we need rye, we need rice, we need haldi, we need this, we need that. So there is a big list of things that are asked to procure. So if the importance is about the procurement part of it, which is what the most part of this, you know, translation is, water, garland, fruits, flowers, vegetables, tulasi leaves, trees, birds. So Narada Muni gave all the list of things. And if our attention is towards this list of things, which is nice, important, and if you only read that, we are a Kanishtha devotee. Because we are superficially reading or superficially looking at what to offer to Krishna. Krishna is definitely particular in what we are offering to him. So that is why I said it is definitely not, you know, detailed, because only we superficially see what is that we are going to offer to Krishna. This list is mentioned, all these points, so I will offer them. But the secret of Krishna consciousness lies further down if you read it, where yo me bhaktya prayashati. So maybe little serious devotees will say, I need to offer pure flowers, pure water, pure this. But this purity is not about only the external components of it. Purity is about the mood in which it needs to be offered. Narada Muni was very particular when he explained this, because he is going to talk further after this shloka into further modes of worship. He is very importantly communicating something to Dhruva Maharaj, because Dhruva Maharaj's initial desire to see the Supreme Lord is for his personal agenda only. He is not going to meditation for some gaining prema. He is not in the forest for, you know, any other broad-minded agenda. His agenda is very particular and with a very clear-cut need of meeting the Lord, to ask him to become a rich king, emperor, which his father, his grandfather, or nobody in his generation has become. So which means it is full of materialistic desire or so-called, you know, desires. So Narada Muni, knowing that, he's teaching the mantra, he's telling the forms, he's telling about the ingredients, he's also subtly communicating that yome bhaktya. And he's saying to avoid the superficiality. So for us as practitioner devotees, if our attentions and eyes are going towards list of ingredients, then we have to understand we are still in Kanishtha platform. Suppose if we are able to go one step further and say how they are supposed to be offered with devotion, so then we come from one Kanishtha platform to one higher level, saying that yes, all these ingredients are very nice, but they are supposed to be offered with full devotion, without any personal, without any adulteration, without any vested interest. I need to offer myself. I need to offer things to Krishna. And one step above is that when we offer only for the pleasure of Krishna and not for any one of our personal agenda, that is Uttama. This prayer will eventually be referred in the future, where when Dhruva Maharaj is actually going to see Krishna, when Krishna is going to touch Dhruva Maharaj using his conch shell, that's when Dhruva Maharaj is going to repent. How stupid I was, that I thought by seeing you, I will ask for something material. I will ask for something for my achievement. But I was so foolish. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to come out of the superficiality in our devotional life and get into the core Krishna consciousness aspect. The reason I am saying this is today within ISKCON, within Vaishnava circle, within devotional circle also, forget about the outside world, somewhere or the other, our Krishna consciousness is limited or evaluated based on only quantitative phenomena, some external things. But Krishna consciousness is absolutely qualitative phenomena, completely inside agenda. Externally, I may sound like a devotee, dress like a devotee, talk like a devotee, walk like a devotee. But if my consciousness is not transformed, if my consciousness is not matured enough, if my surrender is not sincere enough to glorify the Supreme Lord and Supreme Lord only, then I have a challenge to face. So Srila Prabhupada's agenda of starting this Krishna consciousness movement is to kill this superficiality and move from Niyamagraha to Tattat Karma Pravartanat. So if we give details to the list of things and procedures only and does not think about the consciousness, we will be doing Niyamagraha, which Rupa Goswami strongly condemns. Niyamagraha means following the rules and regulations just for the sake of following. Narada Muni has explained about the sitting procedure, pranayama procedure, mantra, so many procedures Narada Muni said, which is important, which is to be definitely understood. But the secret behind all these messages is the mood in which this needs to be done. Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction. In one place, Srila Prabhupada writes that according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anybody who is chanting less than 64 rounds, I'll read that. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, he is considered fallen. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of fallen. This is from Nectar of Instruction, text number 5, purport. So the principle here is, Srila Prabhupada says that according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, we are actually patita, we are fallen, because we are not chanting 64 rounds. But Srila Prabhupada is also giving a very important principle when we do our 16 rounds. He says, with all seriousness and without duplicity. So if I apply this principle over here, the point is, if anybody is offering things to Krishna, is definitely better than, you know, those who are not even coming to Krishna. But as students of Srimad Bhagavatam, as practitioners of Krishna Consciousness Program, we cannot always pat on our back saying that we are doing the barest minimum. Barest minimum is okay for some time. After that, we are expected to grow, progress, and make advancement in our Krishna Consciousness. Otherwise, the stagnancy in our devotional life is not very good. So hence my first reflection is about what to offer Krishna is stated. How to offer Krishna is to be derived, and how to eliminate us when we offer to Krishna is something that we need to learn eventually, which this process will reveal. I repeat, what to offer Krishna is very nicely stated. How to offer Krishna is stated, but it is hidden. In general, we don't give importance to. And if we learn that process of how to offer to Krishna, over a period in time, we will know and experience how to eliminate I, me, mine principle, and eventually Krishna becomes our center, and that process is very, very powerful. So Narada Muni, understanding Dhruva Maharaj's predicament, understanding Dhruva Maharaj's beginning point, even though Dhruva Maharaj passed the test on eagerness, enthusiasm, determination, he is also stating the next level, where as we move progress in Krishna consciousness, your eagerness, enthusiasm, determination is great, but there are some elements which are very important ingredients for practicing Krishna consciousness, which is with all seriousness and no duplicity. Because Krishna consciousness done with duplicity and superficiality will actually act against us rather than for beneficial to us. So in my realization, what I have realized and what I have learned in this purport is, Srila Prabhupada is trying to say, we need to do things which will make the Lord dear, which is dear to the Lord, which is definitely pleasing to the Lord, and that is bhaktiya. And to help us do bhaktiya, he is asking us to associate with the bhakta, which is Tulasi Maharani. So that is our second reflection. Anyway, so the point is that in our Krishna conscious journey, the more we give importance to how, what is naturally taken care of. The more you give importance to what, and not worried about how aspect of it, we remain as a superficial devotee. And we may be giving importance to different types of whats. Here it is talking about what to offer, what tunes to sing, what dress to wear, what class to give. All those things, if we just talk about what, we will be definitely doing something useful. We are not saying it is not useful. But somewhere, in some forum, in some discussions, we need to discuss about how, in what consciousness, in what mood, in what frame of mind we should be in. So how my devotion should be there needs to be talked about. That is Madhyama. And eventually, when we eliminate us in the picture, and Krishna is the only person who is pleased, then that is Uttama. Now, to substantiate this, Srila Prabhupada has given a very elaborate discussion in the purport about Tulasi Maharani. So, to substantiate this first reflection, let's look at the life of Tulasi Maharani and some activities of Tulasi Maharani and how it is very well fitting into this context. How Tulasi Maharani did this? Because what Tulasi Maharani did is exactly what is mentioned over here. So, my second reflection is about how Krishna consciousness is thriving, how Krishna consciousness is something different from what we actually see in our, naked eyes. In our song to glorify Tulasi Maharani, we sing, Kripa Kori Koro Tare Vrindavana Vasi. My dear Tulasi Maharani, please bestow your mercy upon me so that I may forever reside in Vrindavana. So such is the power of Tulasi Maharani. She is the one who is maintaining, organizing and controlling, and who has created actually Vrindavan Dham. So Vrindavana is in itself after Srimati Vrinda Devi. Like how Srimati Radharani is telling about Govardhan. Like how Srila Prabhupada has written about Yamuna, Ganges, Tulasi, Govardhan. They are all permanent residents of Vrindavan Dham. So they are all permanently serving the Supreme Lord. And it is extremely important to learn some lessons from Tulasi Maharani's episode. It is said that Tulasi Maharani has got a very specific set of services. Her first service is, or one of the important services, she is the arranger. She is definitely very dear to the Supreme Lord. But her one of the main services, she arranges the secret and intimate meetings and is a very close associate of Srimati Radhika. There are 12 grooves in Vrindavan, and Tulasi Maharani and Purnamasi makes all the arrangements of Radha and Krishna to meet and have their personal pastimes. She is responsible for waking up Radha and Krishna when they are resting in the forest in the Kunjas. She hurries them to go to their home in Nandagaon and Yavat before sunrise, and superiors deduct them. She is arranging all sorts of musical instruments, play toys and ornaments. Together with many maid servants, she creates a beautiful, you know, place for the Supreme Lord to perform his pastimes, the swing, the artistic decoration. All those things she manages to arrange. She's also arranging all the necessary ingredients in Rasalila dance. So Tulasi Maharani is not an ordinary personality. So the reflection that I want to bring in here is that Tulasi Maharani being very dear, the reason for her to being very dear is, one is about the meticulousness in arranging the ingredients. Second is about the details in which and the consciousness in which she conducts herself. Even after doing all this wonderful, glorious service, Tulasi Maharani remains very simple, very humble, and very subtle. Because nobody would, you know, point out this is done by Tulasi Maharani. This is a quality of a Vaishnava. So my second reflection hence is, according to Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni, we are supposed to offer so many ingredients, and Srila Prabhupada writes how Tulasi Maharani is very important, and Srila Prabhupada is glorifying Govinda Dasi. So the recognition or the identification or the appreciation for our service from the spiritual master is a success of our Krishna consciousness. So Tulasi Maharani is getting recognized by the Supreme Lord, by Srimati Radharani, by all the associates of Krishna, and she is constantly, even till today, trying to help serve all those devotees who are serving Krishna. So Tulasi Maharani and Giriraj are two unique personalities who have given themselves the service of Krishna, and anyone who does such a service, they are seen by the Krishna, they are seen by the spiritual master, and that is success of our Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is very clearly explaining the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is not about superficiality. The purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is the attitude, the consciousness, and the mood behind which we do. That is why he says Desha and Kala, time, place and circumstances. We are not smartas, we are not some rules guys, just about hanging on to the rules and not worried about the mood. In fact, it's other way around. We are worried about the mood, forget about the ingredients, details. So Sanatana Goswami is offering to Madan Mohan roti without salt, without any sabji. When Madan Mohan asked, why are you giving me this every day, this dry chapatis? Madan Mohan said, I am a poor mendicant. I'm sorry, Sanatana Goswami said, I am a poor mendicant. This is all I can offer you. If you want to have very palatial foodstuff, you please figure out some other place. And Madan Mohan decided, the Supreme Lord decided to stay with Sanatana Goswami, because what he enjoyed in Sanatana Goswami's company is Sanatana Goswami's devotion. Krishna is not after our ingredients only. Krishna is not after the, you know, wealth and, you know, stuff. Krishna is after our devotion. So hence, my second reflection is about, from the life of Tulasi Maharani, from the activities of Vaishnavas, from the purity in which they function, it attracts the Supreme Lord, it attracts His dear devotees, and that's the success of our Krishna consciousness. So subtly, Dhruva Maharaj is communicated by Narada Muni that he needs to function devotion with, his meditation with devotion, so that Krishna gets pleased. So it is a message to us that when we put up festivals, when we put up events, when we organize, things, we need to be very importantly teaching everybody not only the skills but also about the consciousness. Because today, somehow or other, our education system encourages us about the skills aspect of it. We definitely need to memorize sloka. We definitely need to sing songs. We definitely need to learn some external things. It's appreciated. But please note, what is more appreciated is if we are able to consciously explain and also as well as get it done. Once His Holiness Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj mentioned this in one of the class. He mentioned that many times parents are very happy and pleased when they see their children chanting shlokas, singing songs, which is very important and very nice to see the children being trained in that. But all the parents need to understand that after the children have crossed the age of 15, are they able to maintain what they have learned? So if we only teach them skills about nicely sing, nicely play harmonium, nicely play mridanga, nicely sing songs, which is nice, which is motivating, which is definitely the way to encourage them, but somewhere or the other, we need to teach them the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. So it is a duty of the parents, it is duty of the adults to behave in such a way, to conduct themselves in such a way, to correspond in such a way, to set up an environment in such a way, to set the priorities in their life in such a way that we will be able to help our generations to have Krishna conscious way of life rather than Krishna consciousness being part of our life. So my second reflection is about how we can definitely give importance to the details of our service, and while giving details of the service, we remain very humble and keep the mood purely to please the Supreme Lord, and eventually try to develop our consciousness in such a way that we will be able to serve and attract the Supreme Lord's attention and His devotees' attention. Srila Prabhupada writes, the success of our Krishna consciousness remains in the way we behave and attract the Supreme Lord and His devotees to see towards us. That is our success of Krishna consciousness. So to be seen is more important than to see that way. The last reflection is about the Desha Kala Patra part that Srila Prabhupada mentioned here. So the idea is that in the previous sloka, Narada Muni is talking about how the rules and regulations has to be done according to the time, place and circumstances. And many a times, Krishna consciousness movement have been perceived by smartas and, caste brahmanas as somebody who is breaking the normal convention. But Srila Prabhupada was very, very particular in breaking those conventions. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was breaking those conventions because the purpose of all the conventional things is to develop us into a devotional program. If we are just sticking on to our procedural things and not adopting ourselves to the Krishna consciousness way of life, then we will miss the train. So Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement is one program where we are definitely encouraging people to adopt Krishna consciousness way of living. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport has mentioned over here that how the water, the ingredients, all the samagris that are being used for the deity worship, we should not be fanatic in our worship of the Supreme Lord. We should be making sure that the principles are properly understood. So that's why Srila Prabhupada writes here that Desha Kala to mean according to time and country. And Srila Prabhupada was very particular to say that if we are not having enough right ingredients as described, we should make sure what is available in the locality is being done. So in our own Krishna consciousness process, the importance is about what is available and in what mood to be done. So hence the third reflection is about we being adaptive to the Desha Kala Patra. The reason we are highlighting this point is in our day-to-day Krishna consciousness, we see a lot of people who are trying to be fanatics in their practices in either way of being an extremist in what they are doing and not trying to get into the mood of the Acharya. I'll tell you a recent episode that is happening in, you know, in Mumbai or wherever that I, you know, travel around, where we are celebrating big events. We are celebrating Dasara, we are celebrating Ganesh festival, we are celebrating whatever Navratri Utsav. The entire Utsav, entire Navratri, entire, you know, Ganesh festival and everything, they are being so commercialized that in the name of the, you know, the Lord, in the name of the demigod, sense gratification is being done. So here, Srila Prabhupada wants to condemn, saying that you might be doing all the worships externally and trying to talk about the procedures and rules, but if you are not particular about practicing the spirituality according to the mood, then we will not do justice to Krishna consciousness. So the last point that Srila Prabhupada writes that one should not offer Lord Vasudeva anything other than what is prescribed herein by the great authority Narada Muni. So one cannot offer to the deity according to one's whims. So please don't offer things which are not conducive for our devotional life. As I mentioned that I'm seeing the last 3 days, it's a huge event happening in Mumbai around where devotees are, not devotees, so people are dancing in front of all the goddesses. In the name of Navratri, they are having sense gratification and, you know, movie songs, cinema songs, Bollywood songs. And at the end of the day, the children's life, and the people who are seeing this, they are learning a wrong message. And somewhere or other, the whole devotional mood is completely getting lost. So, hence, in our course of life, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we need to be aware what not to offer to Krishna. And one thing which we are definitely not to offer to Krishna is about our fanaticism and our doggish mentality. I'll end this with a small note from Vrindavan Das Thakura. Vrindavan Das Thakur, in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, is mentioning a very important point. He says, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dana, Bhakti Yai Krishna Nama Smarana Krandana. So he is explaining that Bhakti Yoga actually means Krishna Nama Smarana and Krandana. When we cry and chant the holy name of the Lord, that is actually devotional life. And after that, Vrindavan Das Thakur is explaining that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is one of the very important statements Vrindavan Das Thakur is explaining. He says, Anindaka hoy jay, Sakrit Krishna bhaje, Satya Satya Muhitare Udhari lo hele. So if somebody is trying to chant the holy name of the Lord without committing offenses or criticism, then I promise I deliver that person. So in this Kali Yuga, the process of Krishna consciousness have been brought down to as simple as chanting the holy name of the Lord and offering to the Supreme Lord some simple things with love and devotion. As Srila Prabhupada writes, since these fruits and vegetables are available anywhere in the universe, we should observe this small point very attentively. It's a very small point. What to offer, how to offer. Hence, with love and devotion, without duplicity and sincerity, if somehow or other we are able to offer Krishna and avoid what Krishna does not like, superficiality, then our devotional life will be very, very thriving. So, Tulsi Maharani is a very good example for us. Her own life, her own seva, her own leela, is a very good example. So in our own devotional life, we need to emulate, we need to follow, we need to pray, we need to beg for her mercy. Seva adhikara diye koro nija dasi. Please enable us in taking part in Krishna's service. Please allow us so that we can remain in Vrindavan Dham. So with this frame of mind, with this mood, if somebody is participating in Krishna consciousness program, then definitely we can make success in our devotional life. So with this, I end here. Just to summarize on the points that we discussed. So we discussed about the three sets of reflections. Number one is about the difference between superficiality and actual Krishna consciousness. If we give importance to superficiality in terms of external things, in terms of details, in terms of the ingredients only, and not to give importance to the, you know, mood of Krishna consciousness, then we actually miss the train. So we discussed about the three categories, Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. If we only look at what to offer Krishna, definitely we are remaining only at one level. If we understand what to offer Krishna and how to offer Krishna, then we become to the next level from Kanishta to Madhyama. If we not only do what to offer and how to offer, and we also understand how not to put myself there and how to eliminate myself from the picture, then we are definitely making sure that we are elevating our consciousness to the desirable consciousness. So from our spiritual life, we should somehow get rid of the superficiality. We read from Nectar of Instruction how Srila Prabhupada is expecting that with seriousness and without duplicity, if somebody performs devotion, then definitely we will be able to deserve, get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The second part of it that we discussed is about glories of Tulasi Maharani, how Tulasi Maharani is an ideal example of the first point. She was definitely not superficial in what she did, and she gave utmost details to all the services that she did to Radha and Krishna, by arranging the festival, by arranging the events, by arranging the meeting. And she's completely looking after Krishna's needs without any personal agenda. And by this way, she is commanding Krishna's attention. And anyone who does service to the Supreme Lord without personal agenda, without any motives, then they command Supreme Lord's attention, and they also command the spiritual master's attention. Sri Govinda Dasi, whom Srila Prabhupada is glorifying here, has done something to please the Supreme, you know, Lord's devotees, to please Srila Prabhupada, just by that service and maybe many other services that she did. She has definitely got a place in Srila Prabhupada's heart, which is the resting place of Lord Krishna's, Lord Krishna resides in Srila Prabhupada's heart. So hence, our endeavor should be somehow or other, we need to be seen by Vaishnavas, we need to be seen by Krishna, rather than we just try to do something external. And the last point that we discussed is about how in our devotional life, we should not be fanatic. We should ensure that we give importance to the Desha, Kala, Patra, time, place and circumstances, and accordingly align our services and perform our services. And in the process of executing devotional service, let us give importance to the mood and avoid things that Krishna does not like. Sometimes it is very, very simple. And if the simple part is taken care, then we will be able to achieve this. Narada Muni is telling this, anybody who does this process in 7 days, they will be able to see, you know, Supreme Lord face to face. And here Dhruva Maharaj is very soon going to see the Supreme Lord face to face. And if we also practice, if we also try to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni's instruction and Srila Prabhupada's instruction, you will also have a good fortune of seeing Krishna face to face, definitely at the end of this life. So with this, I end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much Prabhuji for a very, very wonderful class. I have one question here. As in the preaching movement, we encourage people to like to eat offered food, and not all people are like eating without cooking without onion and garlic. And sometimes there are the case where wives are more into like sattvic food, but husband forced them to cook non-veg and all. So in that case, how to encourage that person to offer food? Because it becomes very difficult for that girl to cook without onion, garlic, if her husband is not like allowing her to cook without onion and garlic.
Right. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness, when Srila Prabhupada started this movement, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Boston, he used to, Boston as well as then eventually to Philadelphia, he used to live in somebody's house who used to keep non-vegetarian food in the refrigerator, same where Srila Prabhupada used to keep his ingredients. So, I may not be able to give a, you know, specific answer to a specific situation, but as a principle, what I have understood is, as we are practicing Krishna consciousness, as we are moving forward in our devotional life, definitely there are some situations which we need to handle which may not be necessarily ideal. So if I say that if the food is not cooked in the right vessel, food is not cooked in the right consciousness, food is not tried to be made in the things I cannot offer, that is not what Krishna is expecting. Within your limited arrangement, what is the best that we can do? If somebody can do it, then Krishna accepts. Srila Prabhupada used to offer what was available, what was kept in the same refrigerator as meat and eggs kept in the, you know, refrigerator. Because Srila Prabhupada was, even though not so comfortable about it, but he knew it because it's part of the preaching, it is part of the transformation. There are many, many families who got changed by such an arrangement, where husband is not a devotee, wife is not a devotee, family members are not supportive, but still they managed to somehow or other bring in a practice of offering some food to the Supreme Lord. In fact, this whole mentality of offering to Krishna and eating prasadam is in itself will change anybody from meat eater to a regular ones. I have a lot of such examples and experiences where if a house, some people are eating meat, at least offer milk to Krishna and give prasadam to everybody. Offer fruits to Krishna and give prasadam to everybody. So we need to take some extra pain, some extra endeavor, some extra, you know, energy to somehow or other give prasadam to the devotees or the family members, so that somewhere they get the, you know, good fortune of getting transformed. But the principle I'm saying is that as practicing devotees, probably it may not be an ideal arrangement to offer such a food to the installed deities in the temple, because that would be a standard. But at home, Krishna accepts. At home, in, you know, offered a picture of the Lord, definitely Krishna accepts, Krishna purifies, Krishna transforms our consciousness as well as others' consciousness also. So I would definitely not hold any strict rules to follow at home if there are restrictions. It is ideal to have a good standard, and we need to definitely elevate ourselves to a good standard. But otherwise, if what is the best possible arrangement, whatever that is good possible. I'll tell you, in my personal life, when I started practicing Krishna consciousness, I was in my grade 7th. Okay, in my house, fortunately, we are, by birth vegetarian. But then, cooking of onion garlic was definitely an integrated, aspect in our lives. But somehow, after coming in contact with devotees, I got to learn both the things, not eat onion garlic, and also eat food that are offered to Krishna. So whenever in our house onion garlic is done, I used to avoid eating them, or maybe I used to offer the other things to Krishna, rice, milk, yogurt, those all things that are, not worried about this. So we offer it to Krishna, and slowly, maybe it took 1 year, maybe it took, little longer than 1 year. But then somewhere or other, people understood and the prasadam worked. And the entire family stopped, eating onion garlic. So the point here is that somewhere Krishna also evaluates our seriousness and desires. So if you have a very strong desire, as well as, determined in practicing what we're desiring, then Krishna cooperates. I'm not sure if I, you know, answered your question, but at least as a principle, I would encourage this.
No, Prabhuji, I got your point. You very much answered my question. Very, very, very nice things you mentioned. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. And I have one more question. I have one more question. As we have DTs at our home, and somebody who is like from like non-veg family or from, because they are eating onion and garlic, they happily bring something to offer here at our home. And if we don't offer, they mind sometimes. So how to handle these situations?
Right. So there are two things. One is those who are cooking non-veg. Second is those who are eating, you know, onion, garlic. Those who are cooking non-veg, you know, it's definitely one category to be careful than those who are cooking, you know, onion, garlic. Because cooking non-veg is slightly more, you know, graver, or it's a little more serious than cooking the onion, garlic. So we can definitely, if you have a standard for your deities at home, if you have standards for, you know, worship in your deities, we have installed or welcomed them with some specific arrangements. Because when you do deity worship, there should be some process that we are supposed to follow and confess to the deities. This is a standard I wish to worship you. The deity expect you to worship in standards. So what we do is that we always have an arrangement where we can offer to other pictures of Krishna, other, you know, we call as kitchen altar, or, you know, some places where we can definitely, offering to Krishna is definitely not something condemned. But knowingly, you know, we just try to bypass and not be serious enough, being keeping it pure is something that is condemned. So in terms of maintaining both, maintaining a deity worship standard, don't compromise on it. But in terms of what you are going to eat, you definitely have to offer to Krishna, otherwise there is no way to purify them. So from that perspective, we can definitely put tulsi leaves, request Tulsi Maharani, request spiritual master to forgive us, because this is the best way we can consume it. If you can avoid it, nothing like it. But if you have to consume, I do not know what the relationship is, how serious, how deeper, how critical they are. So if you have to consume it, the only way is to offer it to Krishna and eat. So if somebody could draw a line and state it, hey, I'm very pakka, don't give me this, you know, we can do that. But there are always gray areas, gray moments where you are not able to handle it. So if you have to offer it, better offer it to Krishna and eat, and Krishna understands the, you know, situation and handles it. But this cannot be, we cannot rationalize this and say that this is how every day I will do it. These are all moments where, you know, we have to handle them. At the same time, somewhere education needs to be given. Maybe, you know, in a very nice time we can share. When you are cooking for the deities, please make sure that you use a different set of vessels. When you are doing, you know, something for the offering to the Lord, try to be clean, take bath and cook. Don't just cook just as soon as you get up from the bed. So some education needs to be eventually given. This is the difficulty of a preacher. Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching to all the hippies, they were unclean. They used to puke. They used to keep the plate, you know, without washing. And Srila Prabhupada used to do all those work, because that is the kind of way he reciprocated. He gave them love and eventually brought them to, you know, to a level of the great saints. So in our preaching mission, we may have our own difficulties. In our preaching mission, we may have to do some sort of an austerity. In those austerity, these are all part of the austerity. So as a principle, we offer and eat. And at the same time, to maintain deity worship standard, probably we don't take it to the altar. And we also need to subtly communicate this message. It's a tricky situation, but that's the process that we have to go through.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I have one more question as well.
Sure.
Yeah, so Prabhuji, as we see many devotees and other as well, they have flourished tulsi and they have many tulsi. But I don't know how many tulsi I keep. I'm not able to keep up tulsi, and Tulsi Maharani goes away. So how should I see all these things?
It's a very standard, you know, many times devotees have asked this, because if tulsi is not growing in my house, am I not practicing Krishna consciousness nicely? My response is that if you are able to understand this. And because of this feeling of separation from Tulsi Maharani, if your devotion could be increased, why not? Think like that. But the message is that Prabhupada has mentioned very nicely here, there are, you know, climatic conditions which are restricting in some places Tulsi to not grow because of some, you know, maybe some pollen, maybe because of some, you know, situation, environmental factors. Tulsi Maharani may have difficulty in, you know, maintaining herself there. So it need not be considered. That's why I said we are not sentimentalists. So if Tulsi Maharani is not growing, I am not able to practice, you know, maybe my devotion is not okay. You can, somebody can conclude and, you know, reform themselves, why not? But I should not conclude like that. Oh, Ishwari Kumari Mataji's house, Tulsi is not there, so probably she is not good in devotion. If I think, I'll go to hell. If Ishwari Kumari herself thinks like this, then why not? Think like that and better improve on your devotion and welcome Tulsi Maharani in your heart. So, my two cents is, decouple the external environmental factors and to the devotional aspect of it. If Tulsi Maharani is coming, figure out a way. Maybe you can have you know, Tulsi house built, or you can have whatever. There are some external factors need to be thought through rather than you know, trying to be sentimental of Tulsi Maharani is not coming means something radically wrong. I'm not saying it is to be ignored, but to conclude and, you know, try to superimpose on somebody may not be very wiser. If individually it's a reflective, introspective, why not? Go ahead and introspect and put all the blame on you. And at least if that's going to help you, why not? But let it not be a yardstick to judge somebody else's devotee. Oh, in Kankarpe, if this house doesn't have Tulsi, then he is, you know, a fallen down devotee. Cannot be a logic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare
thank
Krishna, you have reduced
Hare.
My burden.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else has any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so
Hare
much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Please go ahead, Mataji.
It's okay, Mataji, please go ahead.
Prabhuji, you said we need to offer like fruits, vegetables, like that. But sometimes we may get some snacks from outside, Prabhu. Sometimes sweets like that. I know we cannot eat without offering to Lord. Those foods sometimes we offer, no, Prabhuji. Is that okay to...
Rather than saying okay or not okay, let me tell a principle. The principle is this. Krishna is our family member. Krishna is our important family member. And Krishna is our first family member. You treat Krishna as you wish to treat your first, best and important family member the way you think it's nice. Today, we have a restriction in our understanding, we have a restriction in our philosophy, restriction in our family circumstances, and our habits. Today, you cannot change your habits. So, it is a very tricky situation. If I don't eat prasadam, my consciousness won't be improving. For me to offer prasadam, I need to cook and clean. I need to be clean, I need to have a better consciousness. So, this can go in circles. So, to begin with, whatever you are eating, so long as they are within the allowed list of things. When I say allowed list of things is, whether what is bought from outside is allowed or not allowed, depends on where you bought, where you kept, how did you handle it, other factors are there. It is not that whatever you buy from outside cannot be offered to Krishna, it is not like that. Technically speaking, what about eating? Anything that you buy, you should offer to Krishna. In our house, in our family tradition, anything that we buy from shop and we consume, we first offer it to Krishna and show it to him as if we show and offer it to our own family members. When you buy some clothes, when you buy some gadgets, when you buy some things, why only what you eat you offer to Krishna? What you buy, what you are going to consume, we are supposed to offer it to Krishna. Yajna Shrishtachina Santo Muchyante Sarva Kilbishai. bunjate te tvagam papa e pachanti atma karana. Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yajna shishtasana santo muchyante sarva kilbishai bunjate te tvagam papa. He says it is sin, it is papa, if you consume something which is not offered to Krishna. So from that perspective, whatever you consume, you are talking about vegetables and fruits, I am talking about gadgets. How come iPhone is, consumable or not consumable? We still offer it to Krishna. So our agenda is, Krishna, I am suffering. I am going through my own phase in life. I will definitely improve with your help. Please help me. And please help me to purify my, existence. So with that frame of mind, we can definitely, offer it to Krishna. But this cannot be a right royal ride. Saying that just because I can buy anything and offer, let me stop cooking, let me stop, doing Krishna. Consider your own children. We wish to cook for them. We wish to take care of them nicely. So Krishna is your child. Krishna is your master. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your master. So from that perspective, so my answer is yes as well as no. Yes, whatever you eat, please offer. Whatever you consume, please offer. Whatever you buy for your house, first show it to Krishna, take his permission, take his blessings. My dear Lord, I bought these things. Make sure that I don't get attached to it. Let me be useful for your service. So offer it to Krishna, show it to him. That way Krishna will become your family member. I used to always say this. Initially, we have a propensity of I, me, mine. After you hear Krishna consciousness lectures few moments or few times, then what happens? We add Krishna in our life. I, me, mine, and Krishna also. So, at least come to that stage of adding Krishna also in everything that you do. Then Krishna, if he starts coming in the center of your life, he will know how to nudge you out. He will know how to throw you out. Because we ourselves are not able to throw us out of the center of our own lives because our life has been centered around us only. But if you allow Krishna to join your center and give control to him, he will very smartly, he will take us out and rule the center, and that's all we want. So from that perspective, yes, anything that is eatable within the parameters of devotional, feelings, please offer to Krishna. At the same time, if you have a standards of deity worship, please respect that, as I said to Ishwari Kumari Mataji. And third is, this is not a license for us to outrightly go and buy and eat whatever you want to eat. So by eating this way, our consciousness may improve so that we don't try to go and eat from where you procure. And as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, try to be a little extra careful where you buy. Maybe there are some good places where you can buy things from. So it all depends on your seriousness in Krishna consciousness. But one small point I'll tell you before I end. If you expect Krishna to be serious to help you, let us show our seriousness to serve and love Krishna. Definitely, if you show X quotient, one time, one unit, 5 units of love towards Krishna, Krishna pay you back with 20 units or 50 units or 100 units, multiplied factor. But you cannot expect that Krishna, I will not do anything, you have to reciprocate back, that's not fair. So Krishna definitely ensures what you offer, how much love you offer, with what sincerity you offer, he reciprocates back with that. And hence, whatever you do, but not only with respect to fruits and vegetables, whatever you do, whatever you consume, include Krishna in your plan. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Haribol, yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very, very nice, Prabhu. And very nice summary of the class at the end. Thank you so much. Because usually when I hear, I always, my mind goes here and there. When you give the summary, I really can recollect whatever the part I have missed. Thank you so much, Prabhu. And very nice answer for the Tulsi Maharani. Even I feel that whenever Tulsi Maharani, sometimes it happens like that. Maybe I'm a sinful person. That's why it's not growing properly. That's what I used to feel in my heart. Thank you so much for telling that, Prabhu. Very, very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Please continue having such feeling of separation from Tulsi Maharani, because that will help you to grow in devotion like anything. Technically speaking, If you think every day, oh, my dear Tulsi Maharani, you are not there with me, I'm not able to serve you, Tulsi Maharani is constantly there in your house. So if you don't have Tulsi Maharani physically not growing in your house, please see to that you remember about her and think that how you are missing her, that way she will be with you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanam Pranam. I'll call it Shrila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhu, I also have one question regarding Tulsi Maharani. Actually, we moved. We had some Tulsi Maharani's plant, and I gave some of that they were interested to get the plant as a Tulsi Maharani. They were not knowing its, the importance of the Tulsi Maharani, but she was interested to put in her house. I gave, but she put very nicely water every day. And then while I went next time, the Tulsi Maharani, she grows very nicely, you know. She grew very nicely, but their standard is not very good. I was after asking with the forgiveness with Tulsi Maharani, even I feel like now also, because they eat non-veg, even her husband smoke, and then and this kind of things they do, and then but how we act in that case. And she's putting water every day, at least she's getting some benefit, but how it should be. And I think I am offending the Tulsi Maharani.
Basically, I'll tell you once, this is in 1995, if I'm right. I was in Sri Rangam. So, one day we had a program in one of our devotees' house. And there was a disciple, proper disciple by name Atma Tattva Prabhu, who came to, you know, give a class there. So, I was in my, you know, grade 12 or whatever that is, I don't remember exactly. So, I was asked to bring Tulsi Maharani for offering. So, I was in the early days of Krishna consciousness, or maybe whatever that is, little amateurish days of Krishna consciousness. So, I went outside, Atma Tattva Prabhu and a couple of devotees were sitting outside and they were talking. I came out and I just plucked Tulsi Maharani leaves, as if I am plucking some leaves. So, of course, not offensively, but at the same time, not very respectfully also. So, Atma Tattva Prabhu said, "What did you do now?" I said, "I was removing Tulsi for offering." He said, "Is this the way to, you know, remove Tulsi? Is this the way to, you know, respect her? So, you should be offering obeisances before, you know, removing Tulsi." So, I suddenly offered a fast obeisances and about leave. Then he stopped me again. "Then what are you doing?" I said, "I offered obeisances." "So this is the way to offer obeisances? You should offer proper obeisances with both your hands down and properly offer obeisances." So then I did second time offer obeisances. Then third time, he says that before you are removing Tulsi Maharani, you are supposed to ask her permission that you are supposed to offer in Krishna's service. Then he didn't tell me a mantra. He said, "There is a mantra actually, you can learn that. So please make sure that you offer proper respects." Then third time I offered obeisances and removed Tulsi Maharani to go on for offering. So at that time he mentioned, "You see, now you did three times Tulsi Maharani service. So in your current context with somebody not taking care of Tulsi Maharani, not being respectful towards Tulsi Maharani, and you know they are not being there, the concern towards her is very nice, and somewhere or other if education could be given, that's better. And as much as possible, we should at least educate people enough that please don't treat Tulsi Maharani as they treat any other plants. If they can't be, and if it comes to our consciousness, and if we were responsible about it, we should definitely, you know, do something about it. Because we cannot let Tulsi Maharani, whom we are responsible to take care, be not taken care nicely. So it is said that even to pluck her, we need to take her permission and chant a mantra. Tulsi Amrita Janmasi సదా త్వం కేశవప్రియ కేశవార్థం చినోమి త్వం వరద భవ శోభనే. దిస్ ద మంత్ర దట్ యు హావ్ టు చాంట్ వైల్ యు ఆర్ ప్లగింగ్ తులసి మహారాణి ఫర్ కృష్ణా సర్వీస్. సో ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ సంబడి టు టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ తులసి మహారాణి అండ్ ఇఫ్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ టేకింగ్ కేర్ బెటర్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ దే డోంట్ డూ ఎక్స్ట్రాడినరీ సర్వీస్ అట్లీస్ట్ దే షుడ్ మేక్ షూర్ దట్ దే డోంట్ స్టాంప్ ఆన్ హర్ దే డోంట్ ట్రై టు ప్లగ్ హర్ యునో అండ్ దే ఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు ప్రాపర్లీ గ్రూమ్ హర్. So it is some education needs to be given. Otherwise, what else we can say? We have to only ask for forgiveness to Tulsi Maharani. If she can't be relocated, if she can't be doing, we have to just ask her forgiveness and pray for that family to get enough intelligence to take care of them. Tulsi Maharani, whom we are responsible for, we are definitely supposed to take care of them.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yes, yes, I can say that. Yes, thank you.
Prabhuji, regarding this, so whenever we pluck the tulsi leaf for offering, so every time we should chant the mantra or we should say our offerings?
Technically, yes. Because it is like you are dragging my hand to a service. You have a service to do, that is for Krishna's service. And you are actually dragging my hands like, hey, go. So technically, if you have to engage me in, you know, some service, technically you should seek my permission. You seek, you know, with proper attitude, with proper spirit. So every time when we have to pluck Tulsi Maharani, we should offer our obeisances. Every time when we pluck her leaf, we should chant this mantra. And there is also a time in which we should not pluck Tulsi Maharani after sunset, before sunrise. Or, you know, whatever, you know, there are some procedures. You can go through the, you know, literatures accordingly. We should, that's a very simple mantra. And it's just not the mantra again. Every time when we talk about procedures, more than the procedures, the mood. Even if you don't know the mantra, you can just say, my dear Lord, you know, my dear Tulsi Maharani, I want to engage you. I want to offer you to Krishna. Please, you know, allow me to serve you. And please make sure that, you know, I don't offend or I don't try to do something for, you know, my sense gratification. So, hence, we should be very conscious and responsible enough for, you know, what we are doing. So, that mantra is very simple. It's just a three-line, two-line mantra. So, technically, yes, Mataji. We are supposed to offer obeisances and drop, you know, collect the Simarani.
And Prabhu, can you post that mantra? In the group?
Yes, I'll post, Mataji. Tulasi Amrita Janmasi. I'll tell you the meaning of it so that, you know. Tulasi Amrita Janmasi. Oh, my dear Tulasi Maharani, you are appearing from nectar. Tulasi Amrita Janmasi. Sadatvam Keshava Priya. You are constantly in the, you know, pleasing Supreme Lord and you are dear to, you know, Keshava. Keshavartam Chinomitvam. To please and serve Keshava. Varada Bhava Shobane. I am trying to engage you, I am trying to use you, I am trying to plug you. So please cooperate. I will post the mantra there, no worry.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. And just one question, Prabhu. Because in Bhakti Vriksha, there are coming so many newcomers, and when we read the purport of Srila Prabhupada, at somewhere, so many places, it is written about the demigod because he frequently used that word. So they have kind of some objection or they are not happy with that word. So what is the best answer to give them?
Okay, we cannot skip the word from the purport, for sure not. So demigods, once Srila Prabhupada was walking along with this group of disciples in Mayapur, so Srila Prabhupada was walking and suddenly Srila Prabhupada stopped. And when Srila Prabhupada stopped and he showed to the disciples on the floor some group of ants who were going one after the other. So Srila Prabhupada asked the disciples, look at them. What do you think? So whenever Srila Prabhupada asks such questions, you know, he always has some interesting answers. So disciples couldn't figure out what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say. So Srila Prabhupada said, the way the ants are insignificant to us, we are for demigods, so don't underestimate or don't disrespect demigods. So Prabhupada said that. So whenever we come with the word demigods, we can give three answers. Answer number one, the word demigods is not something our own desire to classify somebody. You are not some political party saying that I will take Krishna's side, this is Shiva's side, that is Indra's side, this is Varuna's side. We are not having any personal political agenda. This is what Acharyas and Shastra has described. So we are stating it. Sometimes truth may not be very palatable, but this is the truth. So from that perspective, we can say demigods, this is how the classification is. Number two, in this classification doesn't mean that the demigods are anywhere lower or their stature is brought down. Demigods are very sincere, important devotees of Krishna, and hence, even us, when we're reading, we should not think, oh, he is demigod. Demigod is not demigod from the word demi, doesn't pull them down to any lower strata. See, they are very, very senior. So from that perspective, you say that they are also dutiful servant agents of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes Krishna himself expands himself to a demigod. Krishna as Gunavatar, he becomes Brahma. Krishna as Gunavatar becomes Lord Shiva. From that perspective, it is Krishna's, parliament. It is Krishna's ministers. It is Krishna's agents. And third and most important thing is that from our perspective, demigods are Krishna's devotees. So they are supposed to be respected as we respect any other Vaishnava. And we don't need to, anywhere equate them with Krishna. Neither we can equate them to somebody materialistic. So definitely, when it comes to dealing with demigods, we can explain to all our newcomers saying that this word demigods does not demean their position. It is to classify so that you cannot disrespect. I used to always give this example. Somebody call you on me. Somebody call me over-glorifying. Oh, you are the prime minister of the country. Oh, you are the, ruler of this country. Suppose somebody call me with that word. I may jokingly, avoid that. But what if that person is serious about it to me? I may take it offensively. So it is not, under-glorifying is only an offense. Even over-glorifying somebody is also hurting and offensive. So demigods are actually servant of Krishna. They are agents of Krishna. They are serving the Supreme Lord. So if you over-glorify them beyond what they deserve or beyond what they are supposed to be glorified, they get insulted. And that insult acts against us. If you go and tell Ganesh, your Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you go and tell Kartikeya, your Supreme Personality of Godhead, they'll get hurt because they are not and they are very sincere servants. If somebody tells you, you are equal to Prabhupada. So it may sound like a reward, but it's actually an insult. And it is not a true statement. Hence, we should somewhere or other educate that we are not trying to hear Bada Chota, who is bigger, who is smaller. It is about defining the devotional ecosystem, how the devotional ecosystem functions, and we are not partying to anybody, we are just presenting the truth. So with that understanding, when we classify, and we ourselves are supposed to respect demigods that way. We should not say demigods are some debauchee or somebody to be rejected. We are supposed to respect them as servants of Krishna. Am I making sense?
Yes, yes, Prabhu. Very nice explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one last question. There are some time when kids have a tendency of eating too much tulsi, means like wherever they see tulsi, they just pluck tulsi and eat. Mm-hmm. And those kids are very small. So how to educate those kids? Because they
educate their parents. See, the point is this. Till the age of 5, everything that the child is doing, the parents are responsible. After the age of 5, Prabhupada explains that the parents need to slowly educate them by prototyping, by role modeling. You need to role model and kids will imitate. Till age of 5, everything that the child is doing, the parents are responsible because the child actually does not have any knowledge. And they are not so serious enough, but at the same time, parents should make sure that, the children are, taken care. After 5, the parents are expected to role model. and facilitate and groom. We just cannot say they are kids. Kids are supposed to be monitored and taken care. Even though it means, you know, there are other services available, taking care of kids' service is equally, you know, responsible enough from that perspective. And still, if some kids are having such naughty behavior, they can definitely be need to be groomed with positive discipline techniques. So, in our teacher training programs, we conduct this technique called positive discipline techniques. So, maybe we can have a separate discussion sometime on that.
Yeah, as my son is very small, Prabhuji, he does that thing. It's like as I'm working somewhere, he's like, go and take Tulsi Maharani and pluck the leaves and eat. I tell him he's going to be 3 years old.
Maybe he's indicating you that please get Tulsi Maharani home. Mommy, you know, there's no Tulsi at home, so please get me more. So, you know. Anyway, the 3 years old are very young and very small. They cannot be educated. They have to be only taken care. But at some point in time, we need to role model. Actually, this whole conversation on parenting is a... Not only this concept, there are many, many things that parenting has a importance to, you know, take care. And role modeling is something which is very important in parenting, where we need to kind of set a precedence on how to behave, how to conduct, how to deal. And it's tough. I mean, especially of late when nuclear families have come up, these are all some challenges that we need to put up with. But yes, responsibility cannot be passed on to somebody else. We have to own it.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you so much for engaging in the service. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ancha kalpat rubhya shakrapa sindhu bhe vichar patita naam pavane bhyo vaishnavebhyo